Hello, and welcome to the Cultivate Minnesota podcast. Hello, and welcome to the Cultivate Minnesota podcast. My name is Candace Deal Bartel, and with us today is Senator Nick Frentz. Senator Frentz currently represents District 19, but will represent Senate District 18 with the redistricting that's occurred this year. He was elected as a Minnesota senator in 2016 and became the assistant minority leader in 2021. Senator Frentz has served on many committees and has been an advocate for constituents in southern Minnesota. We are so honored and happy to have Senator Frentz with us today, where we talk a little bit about the initiatives that he's been behind and what we can do as constituents of southern Minnesota. Stay tuned.
Have a topic?
Well, yeah. Okay. I mean, I do have some topics.
Good.
So I have some questions for you.
Yes. Wait until they pop out.
I'm going to surprise you.
Okay.
Well, really, I am interested just to know more about what's going on in session right now. I know that you have authored and sponsored lots of bills that are, I think, really speak to your character and your service to people. I'm especially impressed just with what's been coming down as far as the adult mental health appropriation, your bill about the investment into MSU's Blakeslee Stadium. Thank you for that. I think that's going to be a huge investment into Mankato.
It will be.
Yes. So just, I guess, tell me more about your desire to serve the public in the ways that you've been doing it.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. It's nice to see you. I hope everybody's day is going well. You know, service in the Senate's like a lot of public service. People find it in different ways. My path was through my predecessor, Senator Kathy Sharon, who was very well known to Mankato area people, not just for 10 years in the Senate, but also on the Mankato City Council and as a professor of nursing at MSU. So everybody loves Kathy. Everybody loves the Sharon family.
That
and
is
she
true.
Talked to me for about 5 years about running for her seat. And eventually, August of 2015, said, you know, if you're not going to run, I'm going to retire and someone else is going to be the senator. And then what are you going to do?
What?
I said, all right, you win. And the, you know, the things you like about it probably wouldn't surprise you or your listeners. You get to help people. Mm. It's interesting. And there's a lot of different parts of Minnesota represented in St. Paul where you learn things about different places and cultures that maybe you hadn't thought of before. So, you know, you feel pretty good about it. It's very time consuming. I live in St. Paul. Most weeks of the session go up there Sunday night and hopefully get home to my wife and family Thursday night, maybe Friday morning. So glad to join you here in Mankato today.
Well, I was telling, you know, I mentioned earlier that I'm a little starstruck because I know how busy it is right now. And the fact that you can make some time for me is, I feel really valued and appreciated. Thank you.
Well, Candace, you're a little too humble. I think the work going on at Cultivate Minnesota is very important too. So we're all in this together. And
Thank you.
You know, we want to share each other's time. Someday, if I ever have a podcast, I'll call you and I say, oh, you totally owe me a half hour.
Yeah. Okay. We'll make it up to you. So I'm going to dig just a little deeper because I know that in other ways you're serving the community too. I mean, obviously you're a person of law and really value representing people just in general as they're working through some of really life's hard stuff. So where did this spark? You know, if you can pick up a memory or was it a collab, you know, just a collection of things that kind of put you into this space?
To be a lawyer?
Yeah.
Well, that's a part of the family lore. I was a journalism major and my advisor said, yeah, you're not going to make it in journalism. They have a 10 p.m. deadline for the stories. And so that doesn't seem like it suits you.
It
something more about just the schedule of it every night was not going to be the same as what I was looking for. And his name was Dr. Nobles. I went to McAllister and he said, you should go to law school. That's a way better fit. In 1982, my father announced he would be forming a partnership with my uncle, his little brother, John Frentz, Frentz and Frentz. So I was like, okay, that looks cool. And I always kind of thought being a lawyer would be a chance to work for different people. You picture yourself working for the little guy or gal against these big entities. And there's actually some truth to that. So I got out of law school in 87 and found it's exactly what it looks like. You get to fight these battles. And like most lawyers, you find that the battles have a lot of variety. In our line of work, it's typically people that have had an unexpected setback, sometimes quite tragic, and you know, you're trying to help them through it. And that's not just legal or financial help, but, you know, a little emotional support, a little guidance. It's kind of weird to say, but as a lawyer of 35 years, having worked, for example, for over 100 families that had a family member killed in an accident, you tend to see some themes and some ways to help with recovery and, you know, to do what's left in life. And I think, you know, to have those positive relationships, that's part of what you're doing it for.
Absolutely. So I want to kind of switch topics here and talk about the state budget. Obviously, I'm invested in childcare and early education, both through Cultivate Mankato Child Development and Resource Center, but then statewide through Cultivate Minnesota, which is our advocacy branch of what we're doing for early educators. So can we just talk a little bit about what you would like to see happen with the state budget and some of the allocation to childcare and early ed?
Well, first of all, childcare is one of the things that we think is most important to address with the state's budget surplus. And for your listeners, we budget $52 billion of your tax dollars every 2 years. It's a constitutional requirement that that budget balance. So that what's happened here is the state's forecasting office, the Minnesota Management and Budget Commissioner, Jim Showalter, tell us, although you budgeted correctly to spend $52 billion, we are projecting a much higher revenue number, about $61 billion, in the biennium. So again, for your listeners, there's an extra $9 billion, about half of which is said to be one time, meaning the projection is not that it will go on 2 years after 2 years after 2 years, but is here to be addressed in a one-time budget. So childcare is a high priority, as is early education. I think common sense tells you that investing in Minnesotans when they're youngest gives you the most years for that investment to pay off. And if you look at it in strictly economic terms, those investments in childcare pay off in workforce. They pay off in quality of life that provides more stable communities, which has implications for public safety, for health, all the cool stuff. And the same, in my opinion, is true for early education and pre-K funding, which has been a source of some disagreement at the Capitol. I come from a family of teachers and just happen to think that those investments are well worth it, especially the way we're able to document some of the literacy needs. You know, those students that need to be ready to read when they start kindergarten really benefit from pre-K. And so we find this is really complex logic for a guy like me. If they're doing well in kindergarten, they're more likely to do well in third grade. If they're doing well in third grade, they're more likely to do well in eighth grade. And I know that seems phenomenally complex, but that's kind of how we look at it.
Yeah, well, we've just been very happy with the prioritization that the administration right now is focusing in on childcare and early education. You mentioned workforce, and that's kind of another topic. I don't know if you remember this, but in 2019, Lieutenant Governor and the Deed Commissioner came to Cultivate, and you came, and so did some city, other city reps.
Yeah, the U-shaped seating arrangement.
The U-shaped seating
arrangement. It's like, wow, this is cool.
We're so professional here. Right. As the children are sleeping across the center, you know, we're holding this, you know, business meeting. And, you know, for childcare and obviously other workforce and other industries, it's gotten so much worse. So, you know, what are your thoughts about kind of how to reestablish some of those issues that we're facing?
Well, first of all, thanks for giving a little bit of a shout out to our Lieutenant Governor, Peggy Flanagan. By coincidence, I saw her on Tuesday, and the governor, of course, was here in the area. Tuesday, we did a couple events together. She is a tireless advocate for childcare. By the way, her daughter's doing great, at one time in need of childcare, now tearing up the elementary schools. You know, what we want to address is we've lost in-home providers in significant numbers in greater Minnesota. So folks, that's those people that have as a home business taking care of their friends and neighbors' kids. Time-honored American tradition and a good one. What we find, though, is that the economic pressure on them has increased, especially in greater Minnesota, to the point where it's a smart idea to invest in those businesses, I call them businesses, and make reimbursement rates higher, help them with some of the infrastructure. And this is a different topic, but we want to make sure the regulatory burden is not too much. Mm-hmm. We want to have county, we inspect at the county level. We want to have those inspectors have good working relationships with the in-home providers.
Absolutely.
We have seen more of a stability to the centers, which is good. But in some of the smaller rural Minnesota communities, there's not going to be room for a center. So we're looking at funding for both in-home providers and centers. And when we do that, we find there's a group of parents that will come off the sidelines and go to work.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that concept of just establishing a new workforce in that way, right? And trying to think about ways to refill that pipeline of people who are passionate working with children. So let's talk about people in our district. I think it's, you know, just being a regular old citizen, it can sometimes be very scary to approach a senator or a legislator, a representative. You don't feel that?
I haven't heard too much of that. But
really?
No.
Okay. Well, you're a cool dude. You're a nice guy. So not you personally.
High praise. But just... Thank you.
Yeah, very sophisticated praise there. But really, what do you feel like is the best way for people very locally to get involved, to reach out, to tell you what's important, to come up with solutions?
It's a great question.
Yeah, what do you think?
Great question. First of all, you know, there's some of the standard communication that probably works better than people realize. Mm-hmm. So at my office, and I represent a regional center, which is very cool. We get on a busy day 200 emails, a bunch of phone calls, and folks, we do really keep track of them. So just as an example, talked to a constituent this morning who's hoping for a yes vote on a bill that has to do with direct care reimbursement rates. Mm. And I'm a yes. That bill has not necessarily come to the floor, but they called. We talked for a little bit. So if you email, it's a little more effective than you think. And your email can say to your legislator, hey, I would appreciate a call. I know you're busy, but please let your staff know. My cell phone number is one of the worst kept secrets in St. Paul. And so I do have a lot of constituents who have that and they text, and a lot of advocates and community leaders are welcome to it. The only way to be sure I get word is if you text me. I have four different email accounts and they're all super swamped. And I still work as a lawyer at the Mashka Law Firm, which is very rewarding. So it's true, legislators are busy. I think also there are groups that can help amplify your voice. So just for example, in childcare, in transportation, we have groups that advocate at the Capitol, and they want to hear from you too, not just to know what you think, but to add your voice to the list of people that they tell legislators, hey, we have over 400 members in your district. Great example of that is Education Minnesota, slightly different topic, but there are 67 Senate districts in Minnesota, each with about 1,100 public school teachers in them. Mm. Well, Education Minnesota is a very loud collective voice for the teachers that work with our kids. And if you don't want to talk to your legislator, you might want to reach out to Education Minnesota and say, hey, here's what we'd like to see on school funding or special education cross-subsidy or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So even if it seems like it's tough to get a hold of your legislator, it shouldn't be. And I hear a lot of feedback from different constituents around the state. And I would like to say most legislators are pretty conscious of needing to get back to their constituents. And we always say,
absolutely,
if you're not getting back to your constituents, you're likely to be the ex-senator pretty soon.
Well, yeah. I mean, I feel so grateful to live in this district because, I mean, I think, you know, we have great representation. So
it's nice of you to say.
I really, really appreciate it. But yeah. And I'm part of the Child Care Advocates Ready to Emerge. They're another great resource for those interested in child care, but maybe not quite knowing, like, where do I put my stamp on? They'll help figure that out. Okay, so then let's talk a little bit about it being election year.
Is it?
Isn't it?
Oh my gosh, I had not heard that.
You hadn't heard it? You were not rerunning.
Sorry, folks. Every politician tries one joke. They always bomb.
I laugh.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Almost always bomb.
Okay, so how are you feeling about that? How can people best support you?
Well, first of all, people get to make their own minds up.
Sure.
And we're very proud of our campaign here locally, and we have friends and relatives who help us out. But the campaign will be first starting with the endorsements of the two parties. So, or more parties if they want. They have an endorsement process. They're not identical. I'm a DFLer, so that the Democratic Farmer Labor endorsement is April 9th for this district. And by the way, we just redistricted so that it's actually a slightly different district than the one I'm lucky to represent now that I'll be running for, but mostly the same.
Okay.
From there, you go into the filing, which is the first week in June. Mm-hmm. So that's for candidates who want to tell the state of Minnesota, I'm running for such and such seat. House of Representatives, State Auditor, Attorney General, State Senator, Governor of the State of Minnesota, whatever it is. Once the filing's done, there will be primaries for some races. So just as an example, if we have more than one member of a party who seeks a seat, take an example out of thin air, two Democrats or two Republicans that want to be the House Representative for 19A, that's the rural half, the North Mankato, St. Peter half of my district, they would run in a primary in August, and the voters would say, we want this one to be on the ballot in November. And then, of course, the general election with all the campaigning, the appearances, the get out the vote, the literature, November, and then the Secretary of State certifies a winner, and then off they go.
Off they go.
Poor January. Saps. Yeah, I
don't know. Oh, man.
Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Okay. I mean, but so you're going at it again. You're going to
represent. Yeah. Different for me this time from 2016 because I was not serving in 2016. And right now we're in St. Paul working very long days. So there's not a lot of campaigning during the week. But since you mentioned it, I'm off to a couple conventions in other parts of the state tomorrow to help some friends of mine in the DFL. Le Sueur County and Olmsted County, a big one in Rochester. Mm-hmm. And my coworker, Senator Melissa Franzen, who's the caucus minority leader, I'm an assistant leader. We're both going to be over in Rochester talking to delegates and speaking to the sort of collective group over there and saying, hey, here's why, you know, we think we're doing well. What do you say? That's part of the endorsement journey. And for the candidates over in Rochester, hopefully we'll be able to help the delegates see what the best path is. And that's kind of the way it works. My campaign has not changed dramatically in the 6 years I've been doing it. Yeah. My emphasis is education, transportation, and good jobs. And it's a tremendous stroke of good fortune to represent this district for this reason. We have rural, suburban, and urban all in this district. And that combination is somewhat rare across the state. There are many great totally rural districts. There are many great urban districts, and there are many great suburban districts. There are very few that combine all three.
I agree. I think it's I love District 1. and I know that you're more fine-tuned than that, but I think that's maybe the end of my questions, except...
No, tough, hard-hitting questions?
Well, this one might be hard-hitting.
Go ahead.
Who is your favorite musician?
Well, obviously, I tend to be more about the groups, and I think it's a scientific fact that Van Halen, Aerosmith, and those groups are superior to all other music ever produced. And as a child of the 80s, I think we can agree that it's not one musician that makes them go. But I will say, David Lee Roth is the true lead singer for Van Halen, and while I respect Sammy Hagar's work, I think everybody listening to this podcast knows that's not really Van Halen, now is it?
You know what? I actually pegged you for like AC/DC. So I was close.
You're dead on.
In fact,
my best friend and
good
I
intuition.
Not only bonded over AC/DC and he became my college roommate, but I then married his younger sister 33 years ago and I'm very lucky to have both those folks to enjoy.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Hi, Jilly.
All right. Well, I want to respect your time. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Was quick, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's good to see you. And thanks for the work you're doing. And for all the listeners, you know, support Cultivate Minnesota. Take a closer look. I think you'll be glad at what you see. And if you want to reach out to your legislator, send them an email, send a call, text, carrier, pigeon, whatever. You should get an answer back. And hopefully hearing from all of you informs the work that we're doing, which is really what it's all about. The legislators are the voice of the people in the district and not the other way around, if you ask me.
Yes.
So thanks, Candace.
Perfect. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Woohoo!
Woo! We're done. We are so grateful for Senator Frenz's time and commitment to Southern Minnesota in District 19.
This is a very important election year, and we encourage all of you to go out and vote, find your polling place, and really get to know the candidates out there and how they will represent you in government. To learn more about Senator Frentz, head to www.frentzforsenate.com. That's FRENTZFORSENATE.com.